Blog Talk Radio.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in a torn up town, no postcode envy.
But every song like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns trash in the hotel room. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal made. Diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
I guess we should stop the show since Christy's already yelling at her kids on the air.
Hello, this is Emily.
Hey, what's up, girl? Finally somebody.
Don't acknowledge her. Don't acknowledge her. I told her not to say anything until I addressed her. Don't listen to her. She's nobody.
No. I mean.
No, anyway, okay. So we have Louie is missing in action, so we have a guest host. Christy, do you know Emily Tazy Parker? Do you know her?
Yep. We talk on occasion.
Sweet. So you guys are pals. Well, Mick, I decided to try to balance out the semen heavy dynamic of the show with another female. Although honestly,
ha, two fellow men.
Well, the problem is that if I were to pick any two women that are the most like men that I know, it's probably Christy and Emily, because they're both horrible human beings.
Right.
I'm not sure that's a compliment.
I'm not sure I was trying to make it either. No,
well,
but they are.
Like
they are
say,
definitely.
I would like to say thank you and fuck you in the same breath.
Okay.
Oh, well, same to you.
Which is, I think she was talking to me, Emily, not to you.
Yeah. No,
well,
not Emily and Mike. No.
You should probably specify who you're saying fuck you and thank you to, just so the newer.
I thought it was just, like, commonplace. Like, everybody automatically assumes the fuck you is just, you know, towards you, You get it on such a regular basis.
I mean, I knew that, but see, I'm trying to be sensitive to the other participants in the show. I know that when somebody says "fuck you," that it's usually directed at me. I know that.
Right.
Also, when somebody says "thank you," I assume it's directed at me as well. I just assume everything anyone says is directed at me.
But do you ever get "thank you for fucking me"?
Yes, exactly.
That's a phrase I've never heard in my life.
And you will never hear it. You will never hear it as long as you live.
Hey, let's give the kids some hope.
Seriously.
What, a prison he can be?
Christ.
The hell did I ever do to you?
Well, that's what you get for going to bed with ingrates.
Yeah.
No.
Look, I haven't thanked Mick for fucking me, but I have thanked Mick for letting me blow a load on his face.
Yeah.
I did say thank you afterwards. That was very sweet of him, I thought. Not that he had any choice because he was tied up at the time. Right, bleeding.
That was the only thing that was sweet.
But, Mick, this is my friend Emily. She's an old friend from the MySpace days. I don't know if you remember, but on my blog I had that banner that I think was like John Ashcroft or something at the top of my blog page. Well, Emily designed that, actually. She's been around for a long ass time. And
did
by an old friend, I mean
stuff?
That she's...
Pardon me? Did you design any of my stuff? I don't remember.
I don't think so. And I think your current stuff, my husband did.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, probably Miles did. Somebody
Miles did the, another thing. Thank you for pointing that out, because that's another connection that she has. Her husband, Miles, who she met on MySpace. Through
MySpace.
I don't even know, like, how did you and Miles meet on MySpace? Like, how did that happen?
We sort of vaguely followed one another's blogs. We both were popular at one point or another. And then I wrote this really heartfelt blog about my dad for Father's Day, and he private messaged me the first time he'd ever spoken to me directly and said, oh, you know, that was such a nice blog, da-da-da-da-da. And we started talking and ended up getting married accidentally one day or 1 year to the day after he messaged me.
Wow. So since that story sucked, I'm going to assume that you guys met through my blog, is what I'm going to tell people.
I could have made the story more interesting, but I left out all of the tequila.
Do you not know where you've called? This is a show where you never leave out the tequila, ever, ever, ever. There's never. The tequila is an integral part of any story.
Good advice.
But I'm just going to tell people that you two met by commenting on my blogs and you know, a romance blossomed because you thought each other was funny. And, of course, I encouraged it and presided over your wedding ceremony and had sex with both of you on your wedding night.
Oh, well, of course. That's exactly how it happened.
See, isn't my story better, though? Even though I'm the star of it, isn't it still a better story?
It is. You left out the tequila, too, though.
Yeah.
Up his butt.
Yeah, there's stuff happened up people's butts. It's part of the story. Who cares? Anyway, so welcome Emily to the show as a guest host, which means please don't ever call back because we hate you.
I'm like amazed. You actually know people who listen to the show. You've had like two guest hosts in the last week. That's impressive.
Well, except for Emily, these are all people who've actually listened to one of the shows at some point. Never again.
But here's the thing.
Why are you assuming I've never listened to your show?
She listened
at least five.
Yeah.
See, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we do two shows a week, and we've been doing two shows a week for the last year. So you listened to five of those shows, which means that The people that we get to call in are people who've listened maybe once or twice, and they're just like, yeah, this isn't interesting enough for me to actually listen to more than maybe when I remember that I'm obligated
because you're my friend.
I've
done shows while hanging out with my friends who don't listen, and like they purposely like won't listen to me while I'm talking to you on the phone.
Miles won't admit it, but he listens to almost every show live.
Really? Miles, I love him so much, so much. You couldn't have picked a better husband, seriously. If we ever don't become friends, I'm still going to be friends with your husband. If we ever have a fight, I'm still going to be friends with your husband. Because fuck you, that's
so,
why.
Does he have some sort of mental disorder? I need to know why.
Yes, he does.
Several.
You don't remember him. You don't remember him from MySpace, but he was Milo McFuckface
on
MySpace. No,
I do.
I do know him.
Yeah, they call
him
together.
He's a maniac. He's absolutely a maniac. Probably not in person, but definitely in his writing. Maniac.
No, he's cool.
But enough MySpace reminiscence. I'm trying to drive the content of the show. We have a few things to talk about today.
Wait, Kanye.
MySpace was responsible for you getting a blowjob once. So let's go back to that.
You got a blowjob from MySpace once?
Yeah.
No, what?
So the entire website of MySpace.
You actually
got a blowjob from a website. A website blew you.
Yes, it was from Tom.
Tom did it. I was gonna say I heard a rumor about Russell Simmons taking over MySpace. Is that true?
I'm pretty sure Justin Timberlake bought MySpace.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, last year or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Sorry.
Is it part of the Bringing Sexy Back campaign?
Well, if that's the case, MySpace ain't it.
Yeah.
MySpace
well,
ain't
like
it.
If anything,
MySpace is bringing back its STDs. Come on.
No, it's just it's music now. It's music centered. It's terrible. Your blogs are actually still there, but you have to ask MySpace for permission to have them back, and then they send you a file. Yeah.
See, I don't think are they all still there? Because I remember, like, a couple years – I haven't been on my MySpace page in, like, forever. But I remember going on a couple years ago and trying to go through my old blogs, and, like, it cut me off at a certain point.
That's because those other blogs were being used as evidence in a child pornography ring investigation.
Yeah. Right. You're not getting the shit.
Well done. Well played.
But they – No, but I don't know about that, and I think you might be. I think that's the same thing happened to me also. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right because I remember going back and looking through my blogs, and thankfully MySpace had cut me off, I couldn't go back farther than a particular blog where I had started actually being funny and making content and stuff, and all the stuff that I couldn't access. Was like the gay emo live journal type shit that I did when I first got on there, like complaining about my life and you know generally being a somehow angsty 28-year-old I think. So
right.
So, but
see,
you can get all
of
that shit. You want all that shit? You can get it from MySpace.
Yeah.
When I asked them for my blogs, it took about 2 weeks. They say the waiting time is anywhere from like a month to 4 months. But it took about 2 weeks to get mine. They gave me a huge file with all of the blogs that I've ever written on MySpace. So
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna repost like 10-year-old blogs to Facebook and pretend they're new.
Mick, what would be the difference between those and the shit that you post now?
There really wouldn't be anything. That's the whole point. It'd be the exact same situation. Like, oh, I'm complaining about
you're
some
just as miserable as you were 10 years ago. The only difference
in
is that
case,
the emo shit. The emo shit that you post now has more to do with fantasy fucking football. That's the only difference.
That's true. Well, because back then I could actually play real football because I was in shape, and I wouldn't hurt myself doing stupid shit like playing football.
What?
Now
in
I have to
in my case, my references to
athletes.
Paris Hilton would just be more dated as all. Right?
No, that's my blogs. That's my blogs, too. I mean, there's so much Paris Hilton hate on the old blogs that, I mean, she still sucks. It's not like she doesn't suck anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not like people just quit sucking one day.
My favorite blog on my MySpace page was I wrote, like, a blog of the top 100 chicks that I've always wanted to bang in like, throughout history. Or not, like, history,
right.
But throughout, like, the course of my life.
You know,
my
personal history would beg to differ, but I'm not sure I can think of 100 people in the universe I would bang.
Right. Yeah.
Emily, you've already banged way more than that.
Way more people than are in the universe? Did I have repeats?
Yeah.
Way more people than 100, but sure. Have you banged everyone on Earth?
No,
impressive.
I don't think I got that far.
You may have outslutted Christy, which...
No, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. You like to make other people's sex lives more grandiose than what they are.
Of course,
you know?
I do.
You're right.
Of course
like
I do, because mine is so pitiful, so I have to try to live vicariously through all of you.
Word
yes.
up.
And
amen,
you,
brother.
And you like to make this out to be
magnificent
Mick. Slut.
Except for Mick.
Yeah,
there is no
the
way.
I feel like less sex than Mike.
I mean, I can't even pretend to, like, to talk up his sex life.
Yeah.
So
not cute.
So what
like
are
Mick's,
we actually supposed to
be
talking about?
You know what Mick's hottest sexual fantasy is right now? That a woman looks at him. That's what he's, that's what he masturbates to, is a woman looking his way and not turning away in
and
disgust after
yeah,
half a
not,
second.
Not vomiting,
yeah.
Right.
Well, then, that probably happens quite often, like the three-second stare that the lady had at Target in that line. Like, she was daydreaming, and her eyes landed on him for, like, a whole
that,
3 seconds.
That fueled his masturbation fantasies for at least 2 weeks. At least 2 weeks he jerked off.
I saw her daydreaming and immediately ran into her field of, like, blurred vision.
Right. And her eyes bounced on you for a whole 3 seconds. And
right.
That was like indicate. That was like it.
And like
that
snapped,
was it.
That snapped her out of her fog.
Her reverie.
And then she.
Yeah.
Right. And then she's like, "What the fuck?" And then she goes back to whatever she was thinking about.
Pretty much, basically.
So what were we going to actually talk about tonight? You dragged Emily to be a guest host, and we've been reminiscing about MySpace. I don't even remember my blogs, half of them from there.
Well, what I actually discovered going back through all those blogs is that, like, I never, like, I always figured Mickey was like kind of out of that loop of the MySpace
yeah.
blogger people, but just because, like, I think when Mickey and I reconnected on MySpace, like, he and I weren't hanging out at the time, like, we hadn't really
right.
reconnected. You know, physically through our genitals at that point, but going back and looking at all the blogs, like Mick, you were kind of there from the beginning, dude. Like you were there for a long ass time. You were kind of in the. You may not have been on all of the same blogs that we three were, that Emily and Christy and I were, but dude, you were there. Like you were on that shit
like,
for a minute.
I was, but like I was never like. You guys are, like, the cool kids in, like, your network of bloggers. I was never in that, like, circle. I just kind of, like, did my own thing. And then, like,
well, you see how fucking
like,
far that got
to...
us.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you see where...
Emily, are you still there?
You know? Yes.
Okay.
So, what's... Okay,
sure
so who are the more popular? We're going
to
go there. Who is the more popular and least popular, you know, all that bullshit?
I'd say it definitely wasn't me.
I'd say it was probably
a
toss-up.
I had a decent blog, but I didn't have a very good following.
I had.
I'd
say it's a toss-up.
Back in the day when you first like,
on this show,
and I think I had like 5 people subscribing to me.
On this show, it's probably a toss-up between Christy and I would say. Because like, I meet people like on like their peripheral friends on Facebook that I keep collecting. And then, so, you know, I'll have them. I've had people on my Facebook page for years as friends, and I don't know them. They're just friends of other Facebook friends. And they're like, oh, my God, you're, like, somebody told me that you're Armand Desante's left ventricle. Is that true? And I'm like,
right.
Of course I have that quick feeling of some, you know, some kind of fame and recognition that is absolutely and utterly meaningless because they're like, yeah, I used to read that stuff. You don't do that anymore,
but,
huh?
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right.
But
so why
everybody
not?
Knows
why don't
little, little Navy wife, too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, that's mostly because you had sex with them to get them to read your blog, but...
That is not even true. I was accidentally famous, I guess. I didn't even go out to try and get people. They just came to me. It was actually started just to talk to my sister, and then automatically, next thing you know, Humble Be Wonderful is telling me that she wants to punch me in the face.
You're not really famous till somebody threatens to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, at a bus stop.
Well, Betty Wonderbitch, Betty good old Wonderbitch and I were actually in a Denny's in Orlando during the height of all that, and somebody recognized us and then wrote a blog about how they saw us, and I'm like, why didn't you come up to us and say something? Like, it would have been awkward.
That's kind of weird. Like, they talking shit about you, or, like, what was the nature of the blog?
No, they were just like, oh, my God, I saw two people from MySpace whose blogs I read. I can't believe it. They were together, and they were in a Denny's and whatever, and I'm like, holy shit, like, well, you should have come up to us.
So
that would have been awesome.
Come up. Yeah, exactly.
I ran into the Melvins at a Denny's once and didn't talk to them.
When
either. What?
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that people try not to look at Denny's, believe me. Like half of the World Star Hip Hop fights, half of the fights on worldstarhiphop.com are from Denny's around the country.
Right.
Like it's somebody's titty popped out, somebody threw a glass at each other.
I wonder what it is about Denny's that inspires violence.
That fucking moon's over
they're
my head.
They're everywhere, and
pumped.
They're open late. That's what inspires violence at Denny's. You can find a Denny's almost anywhere. They're open very, very late, which means people who are drunk go there to food themselves after drinking. And then, and they're cheap.
True.
So
that
doesn't
Denny's
exactly
that
attract
a
ritzy crowd.
I used
who
to work at a
Denny's
that had a bar.
Bullshit.
I did. No, for
bullshit.
Real, in Seattle. I'm serious. In Seattle, Washington, where I was staying, the Denny's there has a bar in the back. You know, most Denny's are usually by a hotel or motel anyway.
No,
I used to work at a hotel across from a Denny's.
Yeah, so a lot of those kind of people, you know, that kind of motel, you know, the cheap ones.
Right.
That you could get for by the hour or the day, you know, whatever.
So that explains a lot of stories that I heard, because what probably happens is people go to the motels to get their swerve on for like an hour or so, find out the rates are too high, and then just go to the Denny's, order a breakfast, and have sex there.
That too. I got some
that,
horror
that explains
stories
everything.
To tell y'all. I mean, I got some
you
horror stories.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do, and you need to bring those up again. But I'm going to push through to the actual. Christy, this topic is specifically for you because I need your input here. I don't know how many of us on this program listen to hip-hop, but I definitely do. Mick does occasionally. Emily, I'm not sure what your musical tastes are at this point.
I listen to a little of everything.
Okay, right. So
I know that
Christy,
sounds like a horrendous cop-out, but it's actually true other than kind
no,
of...
It's a, yeah, no, that's I believe people when they say that. Unless they're under the age of, like, 25, and then when they say, I listen to a little of everything, they mean they listen to, like, fucking Good Charlotte and Justin Bieber, which is they just need
right.
to die.
I like country and Western.
Yeah, so I listen to Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber and Maroon 5. Yeah, no.
One Direction.
But Christy, so in hip hop lately, in the last year or so, there's been a big influx of references to Molly in songs,
yes.
Which you know is the new current word for MDMA or ecstasy or whatever. But I remember like over 10 years ago when you know people were doing a lot of ecstasy and all that other shit. Like, it was mostly a white people drug, you know. It was something that white kids did in raves and you know, was big among, like, the raver kids and the club goers and shit like that. And so my question is, why has it taken so long for black people to realize that ecstasy is great? Is it because
okay,
it was done by dumb white kids?
No. I think they start referencing it more. I mean, to be honest, and stuff.
You there?
I knew people that did
Christy,
it. Hell,
you're breaking up, sweetheart. Could you? I mean, I know you're probably chasing your kids around, but could you maybe stay in one place so we can hear what you're saying?
Okay. What I was trying to say is that I know that it was raver drug, but tell the truth, I knew a lot of black people who did it. And I just think that it just gained popularity, just like twerking. You know, twerking's always been here. You know, it's just, for some reason, pop culture is gravitating towards that now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
Twerking's always, I mean, here's the thing. Rap videos have had twerking in them for a long time. They just didn't call it that. They called it booty clapping or the duddy wine or whatever the hell they used to call it. And so twerking is just a new word for it. But I listened to rap music for a long time, and it's only recently that they're referencing Molly. And even living where I live, like it's a thing now, like people are actually recognizing. Back in the day, that wasn't the thing, you know. Like I knew black people did it here and there, but it wasn't as ubiquitous as it is. And of course, once you get people start referencing it in songs, you have more people wanting to try it and all this other shit. But like, there's definitely a disparity.
As much of a thing. But I do remember like Dre referenced it in like the Chronic 2001 doing ecstasy, and obviously
really?
It's been mentioned like a bunch of times. It's definitely not as popular as it is now. But
it was never given to it. But I mean, Rick Ross just got in trouble because he wrote part of a song where he said he was going to drop Molly in some chick's champagne glass without her knowing it.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean,
CeeLo, correct me if I'm wrong, and I very well might be, but wasn't classic hip-hop lyrics have never, I mean, hard drugs really have never been ubiquitous in the lyrics. It's more been about pot and alcohol. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the last 5 years or so, though, coke has been a big reference in songs too, like Coke Boys. You know, because I mean, once you started getting the kids into hip hop that had been selling that shit on the corner for years, that's the kind of thing that they reference. You know, so coke.
Yeah,
yes, has not
the guy's
been.
Name, like Tony Yayo, the fucking guy's name is Tony Yayo.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like you're right in the fact that hard drugs. I mean, you don't hear people making shout outs to heroin and rap songs,
but
it's still weed and alcohol. But Molly is a big thing now. Like it's.
Yeah.
It's because,
I mean, I can't.
Okay, let me break it down to you. It's because they're selling it now. That's why you hear it. Because back in the day, if you did want some ecstasy or E or whatever you wanted to call it, you went to the white boys and got it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Same thing with LSD and all those other shit like that. You went to the white boys and get it. So, therefore, they're not selling it. Ain't something to be repping, you know what I mean?
Yes, but
that
my,
makes sense.
It does make sense, but it still doesn't explain why all of a sudden
Black people decided, selling it.
No, but what I'm saying is why has it taken like 10 to, and we're talking like 15, 16 years now. Why has it taken so long for black people to say, okay, maybe this is something we should try? Like are white people that horrible that when black people see them doing something regularly, they're like, man, we can't even fuck with that. Like, it might even be good, but we can't even fuck with that because these people are idiots.
Well, I still don't think they're ever going to touch heroin, but I don't know if that's because of that or because of the needles or what. But I think.
Well, I mean, heroin is not. There's no color lines for heroin. I've seen junkies that are black, white, Spanish. That's not. You know, I've seen
I
poor
think
junkies.
A lot more
I've
white
seen
people do heroin. Than black people.
No,
I
not
you see
not.
Lots and lots of white bands singing about heroin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but if you go, I mean, any crack house that you walk into, pretty much in any shitty area, there's heroin addicts in there, and they're not
white.
Yeah,
that's true. Right. Yeah,
you know, I mean, traditionally crack has been the drug of choice for you know people of color, but it's not, that's just what you hear, because what you see is a different story. There's people smoking crack, shooting up heroin left and right, fucking smoking dust. I mean, whatever they can get their hands on. But my question is, why 16 years later is Molly, like now, which they're calling it Molly, but it was always just X or E or ecstasy or thing that makes Mickey like to touch my penis.
It's more potent in it, and it's in a different form than like pills and stuff.
Well, it's different. That's just a thing. Like I hate to say this, but like I've been around ecstasy a lot when I was younger, and it's always been in different forms and pills, and it's always been cut with different shit. I mean, ecstasy was so big that at one point there was an organization that would have like a table set up in clubs, and they would test ecstasy that you had, like no judgment, no cops, to make sure that you weren't doing something that had was cut with like heroin or some shit, because it was such a problem. So, but and then there was obviously a lull, because in the, you know, at some point in the last 15 years, nobody's really heard shit about ecstasy. You know, people who do it occasionally, but now black people are like, yeah, Molly, popping Molly's, Molly, Molly. I mean, even Jay-Z's got a fucking song where he's like, I don't pop Molly's, I rock Tom Ford. I mean, like, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the most part, I'd say between like 2000 and 2010, it was very scarce, like the references to it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like you said, it just blew up all of a sudden a couple of years ago. Like, and I don't really know the reason.
So, Christy, the representation of black America, Christy, as the leading representative for all of black America, why is it taking you guys so long to come to the Molly fold?
All I have is two words, and these are the people I blame. One Direction. That's it. No explanation. No explanation needed.
Done and done.
But we can blame them for everything else. Everything else can be laid blame on One Direction.
Because here's what happened. They became popular. They got stupid haircuts, and then Syria gets gassed. We got all this crazy shit going. The healthcare website went down, and black people are popping ecstasy. It's their fault.
Well, I'm not comparing them, but you just described the trajectory of the Beatles.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good point.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow,
very good point.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm smarter than the average hoe.
Oh, there's no question that you're smarter than the average hoe. We've never disputed that here. I'm just still waiting for, like, I've got some money on me right now, and I could use some hoeing. Christy, so why don't you deliver on the whole part? Let's get that shit going.
No, you know I'm better than
granted,
that.
Granted, it's like, you know, I have maybe 75 cents in various coins, but it's money.
No. If it ain't cash, it ain't tricking if you got it.
So you're saying... Well, actually, you're not really saying anything. You were just making a joke. So why is it taking 16 fucking years for black people to not only embrace Molly, but love it so much that they're throwing it? Like, there's a reason why white people were all about that shit. It's good stuff.
I don't know about that.
I do.
It ate holes in your brain.
I loved X. I didn't do a whole shit ton of it. But I did enough of it, and I liked it. I never had a bad experience with ecstasy, ever.
Uh-uh.
Granted, I haven't done it in, like, fucking 10, 12 years, but, you know, that's probably the only thing I would ever do again, drug-wise, is ecstasy. Because it was amazing. Why are you guys loving that shit up so much now? Why, Christy? Tell me about black people. Tell me why.
Well, we're making more money, for one. You know, not by much.
So you guys can afford it. It's, back in the day, it was $25 a pill. I don't know what it's doing now, but it was $25 fucking bucks a pill back in the day.
Right now, I could tell you the going for a gram of it. It's $50.
No shit.
No, it's not. No, it's, let's see. It depends on who you're getting it from. Half a G is
Christy, do you know how important the show is? When we reference prices of drugs, like, it affects street prices. That's how important the show is.
It's 15 for the half G, 30 for the whole. That's not a whole lot, but it's expensive to me. It's not worth it, but, you know, I think it's, you know, correlation to, you know, even people at the lowest poverty level spend. And when you're poor, you try to drink or smoke or snort or do, you know, snort away your poverty. You know what I mean?
Well, right. And here's my theory on why milder drugs get proselytized and glorified in popular music lyrics. It's because as the drugs get worse, people do more of the more or less harmless drugs. Like now you've got that.
Yeah, the standards. You get the old
bones and you've got crocodile whatever.
You can water down alcohol, but like alcohol has a very set. Alcohol is legal, so it's. I mean, you know, if you drink two or three watered down beers, it's not going to do enough. And let's face it. I mean, companies like St. Ides and Old English don't have any reason to water down their products at all.
Hell no,
they want to sell them.
No, but you know, as drugs get worse, the list of harmless drugs gets bigger, whereas, you know, X might not have been, you know, one of those everyday drugs that people sang songs about, but now that there's so much worse shit out there, it's something everybody does.
That's a very good point, actually. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can't cut weed with anything. You can't cut weed with shit. You know,
you can try cutting
it with oregano.
You can. It's just not good for you. Formaldehyde, roach spray, whatever. But anyways, I go back to One Direction. I blame them.
You always go back to One Direction. I don't know. You're obsessed with One Direction. You're almost as obsessed with One Direction as I am with Kanye West. Almost.
It's their hair and their accents and the fact that they all look like Keebler elves. Like queer eye for
just
the Keebler elf.
I don't have anything in particular against them because we've been dealing with stupid-haired boy bands for a very long time. New Kids on the Block didn't have good haircuts. One of them had a fucking rat tail with lines shaved in his fucking headpiece.
Well, go back to the 60s. Go back to Herman's Hermits.
Exactly. Yeah. The Beatles with their stupid mop heads.
Sort of the hallmark of musical popularity has been stupid hair.
This is true.
And drugs.
This is absolutely true. I mean, you guys remember the 80s, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Flock of Seagulls, man.
Nobody in the world had a good haircut in the 80s. If you had a good haircut in the 80s, you were an outcast.
Or you had a Jerry curl, which is awful.
Jerry curls, teased bangs. I mean, come on.
Stevie Wonder had beads.
Flock of Seagulls?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Everybody in the 80s was terrible. But, so quickly before we get cut off in about 7 minutes, we actually had something really important to talk about. There was just recently there was a white gentleman named Michael Morton who was released from prison after 25 years. He had been convicted of murdering his wife.
Wow.
He was released because in a reopened investigation, it was found that some other criminal had actually killed his wife, and all of the evidence pointing to this guy was withheld by the prosecutor.
What?
Which means that, and now they've actually convicted the guy, the original guy, who they discovered, you know, since he was never a suspect, the guy had moved to a different area and had a similar, they murdered some other woman in her house. So, like, this guy was obviously guilty in a number of ways. But
so is this a case of, like, the DNA not being, like, technology not being as advanced scientifically, or they just lacked in their investigation?
Well, and he was partially exonerated because of DNA evidence, and also the original prosecutor, who is now a judge, has lost his law license to practice law in lieu of being sentenced for suppressing the evidence.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, cool. I'm glad somebody else knows about this shit. Great. That's awesome. So the thing is, though, there's a couple of different factors here that make this worthy of talking about. And one is the fact that he's a white guy. So I'm wondering how much of his race had a factor in the idea of reopening that case and you know, trying to find, because I can guarantee you that there's a bunch of cases like this where people were convicted and they're people of color.
Yeah, sure. Of course. But, you know, it took him 25 years to reopen this guy, and I would say it was less his race than the fact he's from Texas.
Yeah, well, that's one of the other factors, is the fact that he's in Texas. There's also the other thing is that once he was found and exonerated, like, what does that mean? What I'm trying to say is the fact that the prosecutor was able to withhold that evidence, this is not a race factor at all, but if that can happen so easily and it takes 25 years to fix, where's the checks and balance system that prevents that from happening in other cases?
Usually it's handled by a judge. I'll give you an example of, let's say, grotesque evidence of child molestation. Typically, if there's evidence of that, a judge will view it and then determine whether or not it should ever be viewed by another human being, i.e. the jury, and that evidence never comes to light if he decides it's too awful.
Yeah. Justice delayed is justice denied, man. Shit's been going on for years, white people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're actually starting to make a movie, too, about, like, it's called 83 Days, and it's basically about the first execution of a 14-year-old. It was this black kid back in the 50s, and according to the jury, there was no evidence in a supposed confession that this 14-year-old killed these two white girls by the train tracks. His family was like, no, he was with us the whole time. But, of course, during that time, they just wanted to see justice because this was in South Carolina. And it took them 83 days to kill him, and he was the first person first minor in the United States to be executed. They had to put him up on phone books. He only weighed 95 pounds, you know what I'm saying, 5'1", 14-year-old black guy. And there's a movie that's going to be coming out, a documentary, that is going to take place because they're trying to work to clear his name because they realize there's no DNA evidence. It was like all white jury, you know, circumstantial, and they were just looking
to hang on. Beginning to end, only took 83 days.
Yeah, 83 days from the time that he was arrested to his death. It took a whole 83 days.
My question is, I mean, and there's a very loud and somewhat correct voice that says, you know, there's going to be miscarriages of justice because the system works overall. That's a voice that you hear in a lot of things, like, oh, just because you have a few cases where something doesn't work, that doesn't mean that overall, you know, it's the greater good. Like, sometimes you have to sacrifice, you know, the smaller people for the greater good. But my question is, since this has happened so many times over the years, since there are so many cases, it's not just isolated incidents. Every state has its share of fucked up trials that keep resurfacing. I mean, this stuff keeps happening even in this day and age. Is our justice system fundamentally broken?
Well, I don't want to compare it to actually people's lives because it's a totally different thing. But look at, let's say if the phone company drops one out of every 100,000 calls and everyone's experienced a dropped call, does that mean you got to scrap the entire phone service? Is it broken?
No. But it's biased. The justice system is biased.
Right. So if it's not fundamentally broken, then it's still damaged. Yes. Is there a way to fix it without scrapping it and starting over?
See, that's what I was going to say. Is I don't think that there is an easy fix or even a difficult fix as far as that's concerned. I think there's too much